Welcome to the Applied Materials Earnings Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, you will be invited to participate in a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Michael Sullivan, Vice President of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Kyle. Today we'll discuss the results for our fourth quarter and 2015 fiscal year, which ended on October the 25th. Joining me are Gary Dickerson, our President and CEO, and Bob Halliday, our Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, let me remind you that today's call contains forward-looking statements, including Applied's current view of its industry's performance, products, share positions, profitability, and business outlook. These statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied by such statements and are not guarantees of future performance. Information concerning these risks and uncertainties is contained in Applied's most recent Form 10-Q and 8-K filings with the SEC. All forward-looking statements are based on management's estimates, projections, and assumptions as of November 12, 2015, and Applied assumes no obligation to update them. Today's call also includes non-GAAP adjusted financial measures. Reconciliations to GAAP measures are contained in today's earnings press release and in our reconciliation slides, which are available on the investors page of our website at appliedmaterials.com. Now, I'd like to turn the call over to Gary Dickerson.
Thanks, Mike, and good afternoon, everyone. As this is our fiscal year-end call, I'd like to start by outlining the progress we are making towards our longer-term strategic and performance goals. I will then provide our market outlook and describe how this translates to opportunities and priorities for our business groups. Later in the call, Bob will give you additional color on our financial results and talk about how we are optimizing the company's performance and shareholder returns. Applied Materials strategy is built upon our leadership in materials engineering. Our foundational capabilities are the broadest and deepest in the industry. We have more tools in our toolbox to help our customers address their most critical technical challenges. Across the company, we are driving profitable growth by targeting major technology inflections and introducing new, differentiated, enabling products and services for our customers. As a result, we are winning market share, growing our service business, and expanding our available opportunities. In fiscal 2015, we grew revenues 6% year-on-year and delivered our highest operating profit in 4 years. And while it's too early to talk about specifics for the calendar year, we are confident that we have made sustainable share gains in both wafer fab equipment and display. Investments we have been making in R&D and field technical capabilities are yielding results. This year, we released breakthrough new product platforms to address rapidly growing opportunities in etch, atomic layer deposition, and selective materials removal. At the same time, we have made the company more agile and efficient by optimizing the organization, business processes, and product portfolio. These changes allow us to fuel our growth programs while maintaining our operating expenses at approximately the same run rate we had in 2012. At the start of the year, industry forecasts expected 2015 wafer fab equipment to be up 5 to 10% year on year. Our latest estimate is that wafer fab equipment spending will be more or less flat relative to 2014. As the year progressed, the biggest change was foundry spending. We anticipate that calendar 2015 will represent the lowest spending levels by these customers in the past 4 years. While Applied has our most favorable share positions at the foundries, we have introduced products to strengthen our position in memory and continue to get stronger in this market. In the past 2 years, we've increased our share of total DRAM wafer fab equipment spending by about 5 points. We also expect to increase our share of total NAND spending by approximately 5 points in the transition from planar to second generation 3D NAND. Overall, 2015 is a year of very strong memory investment with the highest level of spending by these customers in 7 years. As we look ahead, we expect DRAM bit demand to be in the 25 to 30% range and investment levels in 2016 to be down significantly. In NAND, we believe next year's demand bit growth will be around 35 to 40%, and 2016 investment will be up year on year. We expect around 80% of spending to be focused on 3D NAND as all the major memory customers ramp this technology into volume production. In foundry, we anticipate investment levels will be slightly higher in 2016, with the bulk of spending in the second half of the year. We believe more than 50% of this spending will be focused on ramping 10 nanometer technology. In logic, we expect investment levels to be reasonably stable year on year. Overall, we currently see 2016 wafer fab equipment spending being approximately flat with some potential upside. Having provided this backdrop, I will now outline the progress and priorities for each of our major businesses. In semiconductor equipment, we delivered our highest annual revenue in 8 years, as major changes in device technology continue to expand our opportunities and provide a catalyst for market share gains. We have very strong momentum in our largest growth businesses, etch and CVD, and still have significant room to grow. In fiscal 2015, our etch revenues exceeded $1.1 billion, an 8-year record, and we generated our highest CVD revenues in 4 years. Combined, our etch and CVD revenues are up significantly year on year, and we continue to see very strong customer pull for our new products. At the start of 2015, we targeted 25 new applications as part of our growth plan. By the end of our fourth quarter, we have won 49 new applications. In our transistor and interconnect businesses, where we maintain strong leadership positions, we secured new applications wins at 10 nanometer that will enable us to increase our share of the available market as customers build out this node. At 10 nanometer, customers are making significant changes to interconnect technology to improve device performance and power consumption. We will be officially releasing new products to address advanced interconnect applications early in the new year. In addition, we are benefiting from new epi, thermal, and implant steps in memory that expand our market. We also have a significant opportunity to grow in CMP as the number of CMP steps double in the planar to 3D NAND inflection. This quarter, we shipped the 100th unit of our latest generation CMP tool, the LK Prime. The success of this product helped our CMP group post its highest annual revenues since 2011. In process diagnostics and control, we recently released UVision 7, a new version of our Bright Field Inspection tool. This is another area where we see strong pull from customers and believe we're on track for share gains in Bright Field this year. We have also been investing in a new e-beam inspection platform, and this quarter we posted our first revenue from both foundry and memory customers. In service, 2015 revenues represent an all-time record for the company. Our team in AGS has done a remarkable job to place this business on a trajectory of profitable growth. Over the past 2 years, we have aligned our service strategy to enable our customers' success while making significant enhancements to the organization, processes, and operations that together are enabling us to deliver and capture more value with our service products. We believe that our growth momentum in service is sustainable, and our fourth quarter orders represented another all-time record. In display, 2015 was a third consecutive year of growth. As the display industry introduces new technologies for both TV and mobile applications, customers' manufacturing processes are becoming more complex and our market opportunity is expanding. As we look ahead to 2016 and beyond, one of the key battlegrounds will be for OLED leadership. As this inflection plays out, Applied is in a great position to benefit with new enabling products, including our thin film encapsulation system. To summarize, in fiscal 2015, Applied Materials delivered solid growth and moved the ball forward towards our long-term strategic and financial goals. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our employees around the world for their tremendous contributions over the past 12 months. As we look ahead, we feel very good about our strategy, our customer positions, and our product pipeline. Across the company, we remain laser-focused on delivering the enabling products our customers need to be successful, and delivering attractive returns for our shareholders. To achieve our goals, we are aggressively driving our growth programs, making the company more efficient and effective, and carefully managing expenses. Now, let me hand the call over to Bob, who will provide more details about our results, performance, and priorities. Bob?
Thanks, Gary. And thank you all for joining us today. I will start by outlining the progress we made in 2015. We remain focused on investing in growth opportunities, increasing profitability, and delivering attractive cash returns to shareholders. First, growth. For the year, our total orders grew by 5% to the highest level in 15 years when excluding solar. We grew our revenues by 6%. As compared to 2013, our revenues were up 29%. Our silicon systems orders and revenues were the highest since 2007. Revenues grew by 3% in 2015, building on a 25% gain in 2014. 2015 has been a very strong year for memory spending, and Applied made significant progress. Our strong position in 3D NAND gave us further growth in etch and CVD. Combined, these businesses were up 23% for the year and have doubled since 2013. Gary mentioned that our etch revenues exceeded $1.1 billion for the year, and they were up 140% versus 2013. Our transistor and interconnect product lines maintained their leadership positions in 2015, and we expect the strength of these businesses to become more evident when foundry spending resumes later in our fiscal year. Applied Global Services revenues grew 15% in the year, with continued momentum in comprehensive service contracts as well as 200-millimeter equipment demand. And display revenues grew 27%, reflecting the success of new products such as thin film encapsulation and PVD for mobile displays that are expanding our addressable market. Next, profitability. On a non-GAAP basis, gross margin declined 1.2 points in 2015, or about 0.7 points when excluding the non-run rate items that we reported in 2014. Operating margin remained at 19.6% for the year, as revenue growth and spending discipline offset the gross margin decline. We made further progress in our tax structure and achieved a full-year tax rate of 19.3%, which was down by 13 points over the last 5 years. Earnings per share of $1.19 were our highest in 4 years and the highest in 8 years when excluding solar. Now cash returns. Total shareholder returns from buybacks and dividends for the year grew to $1.8 billion, which was nearly 200% of free cash flow. In Q3 and Q4, we deployed 44% of our three-year, $3 billion buyback authorization. We used $1.3 billion to repurchase 76 million shares, reducing our ending share count by 6% during the period. We also completed a $1.8 billion debt offering in September in an attractive interest rate environment. The offering was very well received and provides low-cost capital to support increased financial flexibility for investments and capital returns. We also added $800 million of short-term debt to facilitate the efficient return of capital from one of our offshore entities. This debt is expected to be repaid within the current quarter. Next, I'll make a few comments about the fourth quarter. Our overall results were at the midpoint of guidance. Revenues declined 5% sequentially, but grew 5% year over year. Non-GAAP gross margin of 42.2% was modestly above our expectations, and operating expenses were $11 million below the midpoint of guidance. We used $700 million to repurchase 44 million shares of our stock at an average price of $15.78. Turning to the segments, Silicon Systems orders were up 8% over year. Orders declined sequentially following an all-time group record in Q3, and backlog remained strong at $1.7 billion. AGS orders of $761 million were up 2% year over year and set another all-time quarterly record. Revenues were below the midpoint of our expectation, as 200-millimeter equipment sales were slightly lower than expected. Display orders were up 50% year over year. As expected, display operating margins declined to 10%, reflecting a high mix of mobile products along with investments in new products that should significantly increase our addressable market and revenues. EES orders and revenues remained weak, and we continued to reduce our exposure to solar. Now let me talk about our priorities for the year ahead. As Gary discussed, we expect 2016 to be another year of healthy demand across silicon systems, services, and display. In silicon systems, our early expectations are that demand should be higher in the second half of our fiscal year, particularly within foundry. Throughout the company, we are focused on making further progress toward our longer-term financial model. On the revenue line, our outlook for overall demand, market share, and served market expansion is positive. Gross margin improvement is a top priority for the company. We expect improvements in our second half driven by three factors. First, we expect a more favorable mix, including higher foundry demand in silicon systems and stronger TV demand in display. Second, we have line of sight to cost reductions for fast ramping new products. Third, we're making progress on our materials cost reduction. For operating expenses, we are performing better than our model. Our focus is to maintain spending discipline and to fund growth initiatives using identified savings and portfolio rationalization. For the tax rate, we expect to make incremental progress towards the model, and we will continue to be opportunistic with the stock buyback program to reduce the share count. Now I will provide the business outlook for our first quarter, which includes 14 weeks of operations. As compared to the fourth quarter of 2015, we expect our overall sales to be down 2 to 9% sequentially. Within this outlook, we expect silicon system sales to be down 7 to 13%. AGS sales should be roughly flat. We expect display sales to be up 5 to 15%. And EES sales should be approximately $50 million. Non-GAAP gross margin should be approximately flat. We expect non-GAAP operating expenses to be in the range of $550 million plus or minus $10 million. This includes 2 weeks of scheduled holiday shutdown, partially offset by the extra week in the quarter. Given we recently raised debt, we expect our quarterly interest expense to increase to approximately $38 million. We expect non-GAAP earnings per share to be in the range of 23 to 27 cents. In summary, Applied delivered another year of growth in orders, revenues, and profitability. The investments we've made are resulting in share gains and a strong pipeline of new products aimed at key market inflections with strong customer pull. We are increasing our profitability and providing attractive cash returns to our shareholders. Now let me turn the call over to Mike for questions.
Thanks, Bob. To help us reach as many of you as we can, please ask just one question and no more than one brief follow-up. Kyle, let's please begin.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of C.J. Muse from Evercore. Your line is open.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I guess first question on the gross margin, came in a little bit better, I think, and guided flattish. Would love to hear your thoughts on what the magnitude would look like in terms of the uplift as we head into more favorable mix, et cetera, in the back half of fiscal and calendar 16.
Sure, I'd be happy to do it. Let me give you a little more color on the mix issue because we've talked about it a lot. If you go look at the WFE mix the last several years, for the three-year average from 12 to 14, foundry spending was about almost 44% of the WFE mix. If you go look at DRAM, it was about 14.5, and NAND was about 17.7. If you go look at this year, foundry was about 34.5. DRAM was up to 25.1, and NAND is about 23.5. We think foundry goes up as a percentage of the mix next year, and NAND goes up. Now, foundry is our highest percentage of WFE, and NAND, which used to trail, is approaching at the 3D inflection our share for foundry. So there's two stronger relative spending areas we see next year are foundry and especially NAND around VNAND, where we say it's over 80% of the NAND spending next year. So if you trail it down, we see gross margin in revenue opportunities for us, share opportunities, and gross margin improvement opportunities. Now, we see those more in the second half because we think foundry is heavier in the second half, particularly around the 10-nanometer inflection. We think NAND is strong, but a little stronger in the second half. DRAM could go 50-50 split, and logic could be pretty even. So that if you look at the quarters and year, and I'm going to get to your specific question, CJ, but to give you context, I thought this would be helpful. We're assuming that our Q2 revenues and gross margins will be similar to Q1. With pickup in the second half. And in the second half, we see a booster for our revenues and our gross margins. And the gross margins, the opportunity for the company to improve are, we could go up quarter on quarter, half on half. We could go up, there's a lot of mix issues there, but the opportunity is a couple of points, half on half.
Very helpful. And I guess as a quick follow-up, You talked about NAND spending being up, led 80% by 3D. Can you walk through what your expectations are for greenfield versus upgrades in calendar 16? Thank you.
Sure. So we see total VNAND this year to be 150 ending this year. We see total ending next year to be about 350 to 400. That's a combination of adds and converts. Over 80% of the spend is on NAND. And then in terms of total brand new adds, how many? It depends on the customer converts. You know, the number, the total is going to get to 350, 400, we think, by the end of the year.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of James Covello from Goldman Sachs. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks so much for taking the question. I guess first question is really a longer-term question about China as a new entrant into the memory industry. I mean, it's something we've seen over the years be so important to the semicap industry, whether it was Japan Inc. or Korea Inc. or Taiwan Inc. And now, you know, it seems like China Inc. is determined to become a player in the memory industry, in particular the DRAM industry, I guess, to start. So I guess how big of an opportunity do you think it could be? How soon do you think it could impact your P&L? Obviously, you know, I would think that any, you know, the commentary you made about 2016 would include any early opportunities you see from China, but more really over the next couple years.
Yeah, I think thanks for the question. Clearly, a lot of activity in China, as you've said. We have a very strong position in China. Applied just celebrated 30 years in China. We've got a great team and great capability there. Very strong customer relationships and very strong share positions with Chinese companies and the multinational companies that are in China. There are a number of projects that people are talking about. You know, there's certainly going to be some incremental wafer fab equipment spending in 16. I don't know that we want to give a specific number right now, but I would say there are a lot of projects that are in the pipeline, and you know, that could be, from a strategic investment standpoint, additive for wafer fab equipment. And our share there, Bob talked about our share in foundry, our share in China is very, very, very strong. And again, 30 years, we built a very strong team there.
That's very helpful, thanks. And I guess as a quick follow-up, if I could just ask, obviously there's some, you know, some consolidation that's been announced in the industry. You know, would love your quick thoughts on, you know, whatever opportunities or threats you perceive as it relates to that consolidation. Thank you.
Yeah, again, thanks for the question. We like our strategy. You know, as I've talked about on the call and also Bob's talked about, we have a very strong position in transistor and interconnect when foundry ramps. And Bob talked about that being in the second half of calendar 16. We have strong customer pull for etch, deposition, and inspection. Very, very strong customer pull. We're growing the service business, significant opportunity to grow our display TAM, 2-3x above where we're at right now. Great alignment and pull from customers for our R&D pipeline. So we're very focused on our opportunities. You know, bottom line, we're winning at inflections. We have a good position to grow as our customers move to next generation technologies and semi and display. Regarding, you know, Applied M&A, really nothing has changed relative to our strategy. We're very selective in the opportunities that we look for. There are really three criteria that are the same that we talked about before: financial return, strategic alignment, leadership in whatever segments the company is participating in. So those are the things that we look for. The hurdle for us is very high. Obviously, we can't talk about anything that we're specifically looking at from an M&A standpoint. But again, bottom line, we're winning inflections, and our strategy is positioning us really well to create value for customers and grow the business.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Romit Shah from Nomura. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Intel's publicly said that this year's CapEx is an anomaly, and you know, that they'll spend more next year. So I'm trying to reconcile that with your outlook for logic being flat in 16.
Yeah, we think overall logic is up somewhat. It's on the ups, a little bit up, frankly. And that we don't have classified in logic Intel's initiative in memory, right? So that's in the memory bucket. And then the third issue is there's some other cats and dogs or smaller opportunities down in the, below the Intel level. So it's not all Intel. So that some of those aren't growing as much as Intel.
Okay, then another clarification I had, Bob, was just on the 14-week quarter, just so we can model, you know, April properly, is there much of an impact to revenues in either, you know, January or, you know, what you would perceive in the April period?
No, it's really more of an OPEX management issue, and we're kind of mitigating that with 2 weeks of shutdown to offset the full extra week of OPEX expense.
Okay, and if I could just, you know, one for Gary. Gary, you know, as you mentioned, fiscal 15 was a good year. You grew your revenues, you had record profits, and you guys made a lot of progress lowering the share count, OPEX, and the tax rate. The share price, though, is down about 30% over the last 12 months, and I realize that, you know, the merger, you know, accounts for a lot of the weakness, but you know, just wondering from this standpoint what the management thinks they can do to improve shareholder value from here.
Yeah, as I said before, if you look at our business, break it down into different pieces, you know, Foundry is down a significant amount relative to the mix. And if you look at our position in transistor and interconnect when Foundry ramps, that is a real strength and really a unique strength for Applied Materials. EPI, PVD, implant, CMP, RTP, you know, all of those areas are very strong leadership positions for Applied. The incremental profitability as that CapEx increases, there's a lot of drop through to the bottom line. So, you know, the mix this year of memory versus foundry is different than what we've seen over the last few years. So when foundry comes back, we're in a better position than any company, really, relative to the incremental profitability. The other thing on the foundry is that at 10 nanometer, different than 16 nanometer, there are big changes in terms of the device architecture. Interconnect is growing a significant amount, and our share and number of steps will grow as those devices ramp. So that's one that's a big driver for us when the mix comes back. We've talked about the products that we've introduced, the really tremendous momentum we have in etch, the CVD, ALD. These areas are growing for us at a very high rate. And I still think we're in the early innings relative to the pull that we have from customers. You're going to continue to see growth in those areas as we go forward. And as Bob talked about, our memory position has increased significantly. So as the customers are ramping those 3D NAND technologies, that puts us in a good position. We're growing the service business, and we believe it's sustainable growth in service. And as our customers move to new technologies and displays, that's another area where they're adding steps, deposition, materials engineering steps, that give us a great opportunity. So you put all those things together, again, we're winning at inflections, and we really have a great opportunity to grow in all of our different business segments as customers transition to these new technologies.
Thanks, Gary.
Your next question comes from the line of Timothy Arcuri from Cowen & Company. Your line is open.
Thanks a lot. I guess the first question really is for Gary. So, Gary, given the merger that we saw announced, you know, there's a lot of bold moves to sort of shake things up in the industry. I guess most of what you've done so far is to consolidate markets that you're already in. But if you look sort of to those markets, there's not a whole lot you can do that would really move the needle. So I guess I wanted to ask you about your willingness to sort of look outside of your traditional front-end wafer fab equipment markets, maybe into the back-end, maybe into some non-semi stuff. Sort of how do you think about the strategic way where you can grow the earnings to $2 or more You know, it seems like you might have to look outside of your traditional front-end WFE markets. Thanks.
Yeah, Tim, hey, thanks for the question. So if you look at, again, if you look at our businesses, if you get to a mix of foundry and memory that's more similar to what we've seen in the past, as I said before, our transistor and interconnect business is very, very, very strong. So, and we see growth in terms of the number of steps as our customers are transitioning to these next generation devices. If you look at etch and deposition, you know, we've grown maybe $1 billion over the last 2 or 3 years. We still think there's a lot of opportunity to continue to grow there going forward, a significant opportunity. One of the things I talked about this last year is that we had a goal of 25 applications wins. We actually won 49 new applications, and that gives us a great tailwind going forward in terms of those areas. So that's $10 billion market opportunity where our share momentum is strong. We have great products. We're winning applications, critical applications with customers in those areas. So, you know, big opportunity for us to grow. Service has grown about $500 million over the last 2 years. And in display, what we've talked about is the opportunity to triple our TAM. And we could be somewhere around $1 billion in display this year. And there are changes in technology that will happen in display that are also great opportunities for us. So you put all those things together, and you have a more normalized mix in terms of memory foundry, mobile TV, and you have a market around $33.5 billion in wafer fab equipment. We have a lot of momentum to hit the model that we had talked about before. Now, relative to the areas that you talked about, Tim, you know, all I can say here is that we have this same criteria that we had before, the financial returns, strategic alignment, leadership, and whatever businesses that we're looking at. But we really can't comment in a public forum like this on anything that we're looking at. The other thing I would say, though, is we have a very high bar for M&A. But, you know, I also believe you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. We have a great team at Applied Materials, and I think if we find the right opportunity, I have a tremendous confidence that we can execute on that opportunity. Bob, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, see if I can be responsive to your question, Tim, and the investors. There's kind of three ways we move the needle here. There's inorganic stuff, there's organic stuff, and then there's capital returns for investors and how we do that. So if you look at the organic stuff, Gary's right. We look at everything, and we are aggressively looking at everything, and we're very open-minded to it. So we've closed no doors. On the organic stuff, I frankly think the results are even better than they appear. If you look in display and AGS, we're growing them more rapidly than they had in years. If you look at the semi business, if you look by vertical, our highest share is foundry, where we've maintained that. We've gained 5 points of share in the last couple of years in DRAM, 5 points of share in the transition from 2D to 3D NAND, and we'll gain 3 to 5 points, we think, in logic, okay? So in all the verticals, we're doing bad. You bet well. You say, well, I don't see it enough in the P&L. Well, foundry's down 9 points this year, and DRAM's up 9 points. I don't think anyone projects that's going to be a sustainable future. So as we gain share in virtually every vertical, and the mix normalizes, that revenue growth opportunity looks pretty good in the semi business. And in the etch business, where we're gaining, you know, up over $1.1 billion, we start to, in later years, get a lot more service business out of that, too, because that's a very attractive business. So within the organic markets, when you look at performance within vertical, performance by product, performance in terms of revenue growth, and also in AGS and display, pretty darn good. You know, no one predicted 9 months ago or a year ago that foundry was going to be down this year and be 9 points down as a percent of CapEx, and nobody predicts it's going to stay that way. We managed to grow revenues, orders, and profit in that environment. And I don't think you go to a cocktail party, anybody says historically Applied to DRAM company versus a foundry company, but we're growing our DRAM share 5 points, okay?
Got it, Bob. Thank you for that. I guess just a quick follow-up. Gary, you just talked about $1 billion in revenue. I do you mean you could do $1 billion in display revenue next fiscal year for fiscal 2016? Is that what you mean?
If you were consolidating in display, the display upgrades, it's been in the service business. So that had been segmented out of display, and we're going to consolidate also the web business into display. So you put all those things together, and you know, you get closer to $1 billion. Again, we had segmented out the upgrade business there, which is different than what we've done with some of our other segments. So put all those things together, and that's how you get closer to $1 billion. And what I would say, if you look at, you know, we can't talk about specifically what customers are doing, but there are some big changes in the display market that could be really great opportunities for us over the next 2 to 3 years to grow that business even further.
Yeah, if you look at the revenue growth in display, it's been pretty impressive. You know, they were 473 in 2012, 538, 615, 739, 780, and we think next year's a strong year also. And then also we bundle the display upgrades into AGS. So when you gross up the display business, it is probably next year pretty close to $1 billion all in, including some services too, I guess. So it's growing pretty well.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Your next question comes from the line of Krish Sankar from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I had two of them. One is for Gary or Bob. You guys highlighted how the last 4 years was great for foundry spending, and now it's moderated this year. If you look at the last 4 years, like smartphone growth is very strong. I'm just kind of curious, what makes you think that this year is not the new norm for foundry spending? And along the path, do you think there's going to be any reuse for 10-nanometer foundries? And then I had a follow-up.
I'm going to start. You can finish. So if you go look at 2015, a couple of things happened. The biggest thing was, if you go look at this, you got to look at the node and the previous node and the next node when you consider spending and reuse. So if you go look at it, I don't think anyone thought the 20 nanometer was a super device. A lot of customers, and you guys know this, looked forward to the introduction of FinFETs, and the FinFET device at 16/14 was a more powerful device for them in terms of processor and power, right? So not too many customers did 20 nanometer tapeouts. You know that, right? What we're seeing is that 16/14, by the time they're done, is going to be a big node for tapeouts. So what you had is a fair amount of the equipment at 20 can move to 16/14. So it is the height of the opportunity for reuse because there weren't a lot of tapeouts at 20. Now, when you go to 10, now the one thing that helped you at 20 for the one particular customer that went big for 20, they buy a fair amount of equipment at the first part of this two-node buyout, 20/16, so the 10/7, because a lot of the equipment is necessary for interconnect, and they buy at the front end of this two-node buying pattern. Now, that's very good for Applied, frankly. So as you look at the transition from 20 to 16 versus sort of 16 to 10, the plus you kind of had on both is the big spend on interconnect, a little bit of the front end. We benefit from that. What you had is a minus, two minuses kind of at the 2016 node. A lot of people moved their demand from 20 to 16, and there wasn't a lot of backfill. So 16 projects to be a big, long node, so a lot of that capacity is going to stay there and not move to 10. So you're going to get a fair amount of buying at the 10-nanometer node. So we think 10 is a pretty big spending node for us, and I think the customers say that too.
And many new steps also.
And many new steps. If you look at the interconnect stuff, it's up high percentage, and that's a very good sweet spot for us. 10 to me will be big because you got a node before you at 16/14. That's a powerful node. So they're not going to move everything to 10. They're going to keep a lot at 16/14 that's still growing. And then 10 will be good because you got the FinFET and you got the new interconnect. You didn't have the new FinFET at 20.
Got it. And then just as a follow-up, I'm kind of curious, you know, I understand the thought process on the M&A side. I'm just curious more on the organic development side. You know, if I look at some of the products where they're investing or trying to gain traction, for example, the oxide dielectric etch, where there's not been a whole lot of traction, and also the e-beam product, where it looks like Hermes has already won that battle and it might be a niche market. I'm kind of curious, what is the thought process in the organic product development side? Are you guys looking to hit singles on this, or do you expect this to be a big home run driving like a $500 million or a $1 billion revenue stream?
Well, I would say in etch with Sim3, you know, we went from something like 10 chambers to close to 500 chambers, 450 chambers in 5 quarters. We've never seen a ramp like that at Applied Materials, and you very rarely see that kind of adoption anywhere in the industry. And I was traveling actually most of the last 6 weeks with pretty much all of our major customers. The pull is really phenomenal. And I talked about the 49 application wins in etch and CVD. We have tremendous, tremendous pull from customers, and we're winning critical applications also. This is not just non-critical applications. Some of the most critical applications, the design of our technology is outperforming the competition. So, you know, we look at that, the etch business, $6 billion market. It's a great opportunity for us. Relative to your question on dielectric etch, again, you have a $6 billion market. We certainly have gained share, but our position going forward on new applications is also very, very strong. And, you know, the pull from customers is tremendous. So our focus has been really on conductor etch. We wanted to go where we had the best opportunities, where we could create the most value for the customers. We continue to focus on areas that are the best fit for our differentiated technology and customer high-value problems. And I can tell you there's still a lot of room there for us to grow in the etch business. So tremendous growth over the last few years, but still phenomenal pull and momentum and opportunity for us going forward. In e-beam inspection, I wouldn't say the game is anywhere close to over. You know, our PDC business, the majority of our revenue in PDC comes from e-beam products. We have a very strong position in e-beam review. We've gained some share in CD SEM, CD metrology also. And really the focus there is around the most critical imaging applications. We have world-class electron optics, and the team is bringing that technology leadership now into e-beam inspection. And we have a great opportunity going forward. So I wouldn't say, again, I've been in this kind of a business for a long, long time. I don't think this game is anywhere close to over. We have a great opportunity there.
Got it. Thanks, Gary.
Your next question comes from the line of Farhan Ahmad from Credit Suisse. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking my question. Gary, you mentioned that the foundry is stronger in the second half. I was wondering if you can provide us some comments on the linearity of next year for your overall silicon business. Is it stronger in the first half or second half, and how does it compare to the second half calendar this year?
So if you go look far on this, Bob, so in 15, WFE for the industry, we think for the total WFE, was probably like 48, 52, something like that. I personally think next year WFE is all of that and maybe a little more back-end loaded, because in 2015 you had foundry back-end loaded more, and you get that again next year. But I think the memory is not as – it's pretty good memory year, but next year, but not as strong in the front end as it was this year, okay? So I think 48, 52, it's that or more than that next year in terms of back-end load. That's for the industry. Now, for Applied Materials, we always tend to be back-end load just because of the way we run quarters and the December calendar year end. So this year, I think we were like 57% in the second calendar half, 43, 57. I don't want to give an exact number, but I don't know why we'd be any different than that, because I think the industry's similar. Where we're strong, foundry and V-NAND is more second half. So I think you're talking those type of numbers.
Got it.
I don't want to give hard numbers, but it's similar to this year.
So overall, it should be very similar for the overall business in terms of the linearity.
Yeah, it might even be a little more second half next year, but pretty similar.
Got it. And then in terms of your capital returns, you obviously raised some debt recently. How are you thinking about the $3 billion buyback now? Do you still think it will take up to 2 years, or do you think it will be much faster than that? Just at the rate at which you're going, it seems like you could be almost done in within like a year. And second, in terms of your the dividend, how are you thinking about it?
Yeah, we did $625 in the first quarter, which wasn't a full quarter. We did $700 on the buyback in the second quarter. That's $1,325. And then we have a matrix that tracks the volume by the price. So my guess is that Q3 is a good size buyback, maybe not quite as big as Q2, as the recent next quarter, I think, might be a good size number, somewhere between the first two quarters we did, is my guess. But it depends on stock price, right? In terms of, we originally said we'd get done 3 years, then 2 years. It may be shorter than 2 years, but I don't want to predict it right now because it's based on stock prices at any given point. Oh, and the dividend is the other question. We addressed the dividend is a board decision. We have that meeting in like February, March with the board every year. The board's always been very supportive of all forms of cash returns for investors. In fact, if you look at Applied over the last 1, 3, 5, I think even 10 years, we've returned about 100% of free cash flow to investors. So the board will talk to us about a dividend versus buyback versus other things in February, March. And I think they'll be open mind on everything, but no decision's been made.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Your next question comes from the line of Harlan Sur from J.P. Morgan. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking my question. On the Lam KLA deal, you know, one of the revenue synergy opportunities that they talked about as a rationale for the deal, and they put the synergies at about $600 million within 5 years, is on the integration, right? So an integration in situ or standalone of the process tools and the process control tools. Obviously, the Applied team has got somewhat similar capabilities on both sides. How do you see the opportunity for more process control integration with your process tools? And if they're right, then should you be looking at a similar opportunity? Be great to get your thoughts here.
All right. Yeah, thanks for the question. So I want to clarify, you're talking about integrated process control. Is that the question?
Yes, integrated process control, whether it's in situ or standalone.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks. So if you look at integrated process control, the adoption has been very limited over time. There are a few examples. CMP is one. Another one that has some adoption is ASML's YieldStar product. It's not a new concept. We have a very good understanding of these opportunities, but we really can't comment on our strategy and either company's long-term roadmap. But I would say that we have a very very good understanding of this particular area.
Okay. And then on the AGS revenues, you know, up 15% fiscal year 15, solid performance. You know, the team has been focusing on its services and monetizing its manufacturing IP and know-how. Within the framework for a flat WFE spending year next year, do you expect your AGS business to outgrow the industry and outgrow your overall SSG business in fiscal year 16 as well?
We think AGS has a very good opportunity to grow their revenue line next year, and I think they're very good shape to hit the model we put up for 18. In terms of whether they outgrow the semi business or not, there's a lot of variables in terms of, you know, WFE spending, but I think they're going to have a strong year. They had a really great year this year.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Stephen Chin from UBS. Your line is open.
Okay, thanks. Hi, Gary, Bob. Just a follow-up question about DRAM WFE in 2016 being down significantly. Like, do you think DRAM as a percentage of WFE goes back to, you know, 14% of total WFE compared to, you know, 25%? Is that kind of the way to think about your definition of being down significantly?
I don't want to give a hard number. We think it's down, but not down that far.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. And just a follow-up question on market share. You know, it sounds like your etch and deposition market share did quite well this year. Now that Lam and KLA are combining, is this typically a time that Applied can take even more market share in etch deposition and maybe even inspection as those two companies look to integrate?
Yeah, what I would say in etch deposition and inspection, we have, as I said earlier, incredible pull from customers in etch and deposition, especially as they're moving to new device technologies. There's a lot of new materials that are going to be implemented where we have a very strong position. I talked about the number of applications wins earlier. So we already have very strong pull from customers with the enabling technologies, the new platforms that we have implemented in those areas. Also, very, very strong pull from customers on inspection. Deeper technology engagements than we've ever had before as our customers are moving to these new device structures. And really a great opportunity, really great opportunity, strong pull from customers.
Okay. Thanks, Gary.
Your next question comes from the line of Atif Malik from Citigroup. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Two quick ones. Bob, assuming flat WFE next year, AGS sales up, how should we think about OPEX dollars in terms of absolute dollars for into next year?
For the whole company?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be fiscal year, we'd like to be down a little bit or flat to down a little bit.
Okay. Then as follow-up, I believe there was a $13 million small negative adjustment in the backlog. Can you talk about what where that was it in silicon and which in market?
Well, we had a backlog adjustment earlier in the year in foundries, remember. And then I think we had some FX. Hold on, I'm looking it up. $13 million was. There's a cancellation. There's a bunch of small ones, really. There's no big pattern. Currency adjust was $27 million. That's buried in there too. So it's $27 million was foreign exchange, 24 in SSG, 3 in solar. So a lot of it was foreign exchange movement too.
Okay. And one last one. On the services side, is it possible to provide some kind of percentage for 200-millimeter refurbished equipment? Is it more like 10-20% of your services sales or higher?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the whole question.
200-millimeter refurbished equipment sales is a percentage of overall services sales?
Yeah, we don't break that out. What we've said is that it was a strong year for 200-millimeter tool sales, up a fair amount from last year. And we think it'll be pretty strong next year, too. There's a couple of big demand drivers there. One is you don't quite realize it, but your average cell phone's got a lot of sensors in there, so a lot of those sensors are made on 200-millimeter devices. The second is the whole automobile and sensors business is growing quite a bit. So both of those look like they'll be pretty good next year, too.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. And I think, Kyle, we have time for just about one more question, please.
Your last question comes from the line of Weston Twigg from Pacific Crest. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Wanted to ask about your comments on inspection where you said you're seeing very strong customer pull. Was that more related to just the new U-Vision platform, or were you referring to e-beam inspection? And if it was e-beam related, I'm wondering if you can give us an idea of how much of a revenue contribution that could be in 2016.
Yeah, so in U-Vision, we have a good position in foundry and logic. Also, we had a recent multiple tool order in memory for the U-Vision 7, so making progress there in that part of the business. On the e-beam area, again, as I said before, we have really very strong electron optics. We've got a strong position in e-beam review, and putting all that together, we think it's a great opportunity for us. We're not ready to quantify the exact number in terms of the potential there, but it is a fast-growing part of the market, and with the technology and the team we have, we think that it's a good opportunity going forward.
Okay, that helps. And then as a follow-up, I was wondering, on the last call you said you're ramping down some businesses and you plan to cut anything really sustainably below 20% op margin. And I was just wondering if there were any significant cuts this quarter that you could talk about.
Well, it's hard to talk about those in advance. We consistently screen all the businesses. The one that consistently we're ramping down is the solar business, frankly, because the market's bad, right? But other than that, we don't have much we would talk about right now.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, Wes. And we'd like to thank everyone for joining us this afternoon. A replay of this call will be available on our website beginning at 5 p.m. Pacific time today. Thank you for your continued interest in Applied Materials.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.